speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
Quite an accident, says the atheist. There is no God. All wonders around us are just accidental. My friends, there has never been a more foolish statement than that. But there are those who continue to uphold that. Some in our schools even laugh at the faith of our young people. They don't want them to believe in the Bible. They don't want them to believe in God. And yet the things that they try to replace that with are pure folly and not that which could be seen or understood by reasonable people. For instance, they talk about evolution. You know, the theory of evolution teaches that matter made mind. Instead of mind making matter, matter made mind. And the truth holds, of course, to the absolute difference of that and to the absolute power of mind over matter. And the facts show that matter was made from mind and kept for mind. And the world is full of illustrations of these facts. By the inventive genius of man, lightning has been chained. The power of the stream has been controlled, and the strength of the beast is made weak. The energy of the atom is being utilized, all by the power of the mind. And if matter made mind, then matter created something greater than itself. What is the scientist to believe on this? And what is the scientist to say about this? Evolution teaches that out of something without sex, things that have sex gradually developed. And though the sexes do not connect in any way except to propagate their kind, without any forethought on the part of the non-sex thing out of which they evolved, according to them, all the sexes sprang from it, that single non-sex cell. Where is there a scientist who can believe that? If he's a true scientist, he won't believe it. Evolution teaches, too, that inorganic matter became at once organic matter, and that organic matter evolved into man. Now, those are the foolish statements of the evolutionist. This means, of course, that inorganic matter became vegetable life. Vegetable life became animal life, and animal life became man, according to these people. Well, my friends, we'd just as well go over and look at that Capitol building over in Nashville and say, you know, the things that are on that building that made it without outside help, of course, just happened. It just fell together by forces resident in itself, and, as they say, unaided by external force, it formed itself into the stately Capitol building that we see today. And some future day, this marble-columned mammoth building will become legislators and governors of the states, and finally, they'll become the presidents of the nation. Well, on this hypothesis, my friends, we could develop a theory of the evolution of an automobile as a vehicle, couldn't we? The first two-cylinder thrash sprang into existence from a junk pile, which evolved from mineral substances and gradually developed into a four-cycle Ford, and then a six-cylinder Chevrolet, an eight-cylinder Buick, or a 12-cylinder Cadillac, and finally, a 16-cylinder Rolls-Royce. But all of this, of course, according to them, was without outside help, unaided by external force, and by powers resident in itself. You know, that would be what evolution teaches in reference to the single-cell theory, the origin of the species, and the descent of man. It is simply not true. Let the evolutionists find a start on a chance from the inorganic to the organic, or from the vegetable to the animal, then from the animal to man. From the beginning of history, all these have been the same in their respective classifications, with man created as man, existing as man, and with power over the flesh. When did these things change? When did man get better? It doesn't appear today that he's getting better, my friends, as evolution would teach, but he is getting worse. And it is unknown to us how anyone could even claim such things. You know, it's a known fact that animal cells and vegetable cells are radically different in structure. A simple illustration shows that to be a fact. Organic nourishment will destroy animal cells. For an example, you put rotted manure from the stable into a potato hill and it'll produce better potatoes. But put it in the cow, produce better butter, and you'll see the result. It will not work. On the same principle, feed raw meat to a dog and it will make him fat. But put it in a cabbage plant and it will die. Well, my friends, if animal life comes from vegetable life, why is the life that is in the vegetable kingdom the same in all examples? But in the animal kingdom, this is not true. The tiny blade of grass and the giant oak tree are nourished in exactly the same way, but it is not so of the ant, or the elephant, or of the doodlebug, or of man himself, is it? Now, these simple facts of nature show how foolish the theory of evolution is, and how it violates the law of cell structure. It violates the law of kinds, the law that like begets like. Well, if animal life comes from vegetable life, explain why hair grows on cow and a horse, and wool on sheep, and feathers on a goose, but they all eat the same food. They may be different colors, but they all eat the same food. What became of the law of development here? If animal life came from vegetable life, then explain why, my friends, and tell us when the development became static. What power started the incline and prevented the incline? How silly these things do become. Then what about the law of resistance? Chop a tree, and there is no resistance, but try it well on a mule. Pick out his hind leg and for the first test to see or feel the result and experience the difference. Remove the skin from the hand, and it will heal. But remove the bark from a tree, and it'll die. Also, there is the law of absorption. You know, the tree and the plant drink the rain and the sunshine, and they grow. And then the rain on the earth refreshes it. But let it rain on a house, or a horse, or a dog, or a man, and then there is no like result. Well, the theory of evolution violates these simple laws of nature, the law of resistance, the law of absorption, the law of kinds, the law of development, and the law of cell structure. And then they want to laugh at the faith of our young people. There's also the law of mutation. You know, the law of mutation operates only within the species or kind. There are many examples of this law. Take, for instance, the chicken world. But there is no example of a chicken being developed into something that is not a chicken, is there? Have you ever heard of a chicken being developed into a horse? No, you won't hear it either, my friends. That would be transmutation or crossing over the line of species, a thing for which not one example has ever been produced. Well, when the evolutionist finds a cat that will lay eggs and hatches a litter of kittens and a hen that gives birth to a brood of chicks, that'll be a start toward the task of proving the possibility of transmutation. That theory just simply will not hold water. And yet these are the very smart men, they say, who want to tell us the evolutionary process is true. This one fact stands in the way of the evolutionary theory, and it cannot be shown otherwise. Well, with reference to kinds and varieties, there are only a few kinds, but there are many varieties, aren't there? In the feline family, beside the common cat, the cougar, and the jaguar, there's the panther and the pumas and the lynx and the leopard and the lion. And in the canine family, there are dogs and wolves and foxes and jackals. And in the equine family are horses and zebras, the like of those. Now, to the one belongs the elephant, the rhinoceros, and the hippopotamus. Infidels carp at the idea that two of all the animals on the earth were housed in the ark, but the Bible does not say that. It says two of each kind. It does not say varieties. It does say the species. It says kind. There are many varieties, but few kinds. There are five races of mankind, all of which can be crossed in marriage, and the product continues to bear seed after its kind. Now, this is not true of animals. You know, the mule, for instance, is a hybrid. He cannot produce its kind, but he is a stronger animal than either of the ancestors of it. But if all animals were from the same parent stock, then, my friends, there is no explanation for these and many other examples in the laws of nature. It is proof that intelligence, futility, are those which claim evolution is true, and the guiding principles of creation and all forms and phases of life are true. We can't deny that fact. It still says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. How marvelous are thy works.